The scripture from this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the ordinances, that the Lord your God charged me to teach you to observe in the land that you are about to cross into and occupy, so that you and your children and your children's children may fear the Lord your God in all the days of your life, and keep all his decrees and his commandments that I am commanding you, so that your days may be long. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe them diligently, so that it may go with you, and that you may multiply greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. Recite them to your children, and talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, when you lie down, and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates.
Ben and I spent a year of our dating life about 5 hours away from one another. And we discovered fairly quickly that if we were going to make it as a couple, we needed some rhythms built into our lives that kept us connected to one another. Even as we functioned with independent responsibilities and independent schedules, we needed some habits. And so we established a regular phone date time. We scheduled it, and we stuck to it. Now, of course, you could call at other times too, but the other person did not have to answer at those other times because we wanted our partner to have a life. But breaking a phone date was comparable to breaking an in-person date. This was time that was dedicated to one another. And some weeks it was easier to keep than others. But the rhythm, the consistency, the commitment mattered. It helped us stay together. For the last 5 weeks, we have been talking about Sabbath. We have talked about the need for rest, the command to take time away from work. We've talked about this command as a gift, for the ways that it frees us up from finding our identity in what we can produce and frees us into finding our identity in love and community. We've talked about the gift of having time to dream of a more just society, time to invest in our community and in our relationships. We've talked about breaking free from our stuff, the ways in which not letting go can hold us captive. We looked at the ways that technology, especially the 24-hour news cycle, can also be a trap, that it can keep us from fully living and fully resting in God's promises and love. And last week we talked about our relationship to money, recognizing that we are enough. We have enough. And part of how that becomes real for us is for us to give generously. Each week, I hope you have heard that the things we take a break from are not bad things. Work is not a bad thing. Our stuff is not bad. Technology is not bad. Wealth is not bad. And yet, the command to take a break from them, to take a break from those things, the command to take Sabbath, is a gift, because that break cultivates our connectedness to God. It cultivates our connectedness to each other, even as we function with independent responsibilities and schedules. Most of the scripture we have looked at in this series has come from the book of Deuteronomy. It is Moses' farewell speech to the people before they cross over into the promised land. After being rescued from slavery, wandering in the desert, utterly dependent on God, the people are about to enter into a land of prosperity, a land of milk and honey and wealth. And before they do, Moses gives this speech so that they will remember who they are, so they will remember where they have been, and also to encourage them as they move on ahead without him. The verses we had read today are really the linchpin. They are the frame around which everything that follows revolves. Hear, O Israel. Listen, Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's the command. The Lord alone is God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Because in this new land, you are going to be tempted by other gods. The gods of prosperity, the gods of individualism, of self-sufficiency, of wealth, of productivity. These things will tempt you, and they will steal some of your heart, some of your soul, some of your strength and your might. You'll serve them instead if you aren't careful. Moses tells the people, you will give your life over to other gods if you do not keep this command. So here's what I want you to do, Moses says. Keep these words. Keep the words of this command to love. Keep these words in your heart. Build them into your doorposts. Put them into the very structures of your homes. Tie these words onto your person. Put them on like you do your clothing. Put them into the very fabric of who you are. Talk about them daily with your children, with your parents, with your siblings, with your neighbors. Let them become part of the rhythm of your daily life. The temptations of our modern life are great. Believe me, I know. The desire to produce, to be seen as a hard worker, the desire to earn, to provide a good life and every opportunity under the sun for our children, the longing to be necessary, to be consequential, needed, available 24/7. I know the temptations we face are great. To have just a bit more, to hold on to it, to give less, to isolate more, to do it all and not let anyone do anything for you. Believe me, I know the temptation to give ourselves, to give our lives over to these other gods. And so I hear clearly the wisdom of Moses when he tells the people, when he tells us, keep these words. The Lord alone is God. You are not beholden to those other gods. You are not beholden to those other things. And your God has declared you are not just enough, but instead you are very good. You are very good. Keep these words. Love God with all you have. Keep these words, not as an idol to be set apart and never given opportunity to grow and take root within you, but keep them in you. Structure your life, structure your home, the things that you talk about, even the repeated acts of getting dressed or taking a walk, structure them with the rhythms that help you connect with God and connect with those around you, because you are enough. There is love and life and beauty and gift all around us. And those rhythms help us see. They help us remember. Over and over this week, as I sat with members of this community, as I sat with many of you, as we grieved, as we dealt with trauma, as we supported one another as best we could, over and over this week, words have been inadequate. They weren't enough, or they didn't exist. There are no words. And yet Moses encourages us to keep these words. So I don't think he means these exact words. He doesn't mean to simply memorize a phrase. He means for us to inhabit it. Speaking the words isn't enough. We must live them. We must live with God as our God. We must love with heart and soul and might. And the only way to do that is to keep the words, is to let them be close to us. The only way to do that is to have reminders of this truth, to have touchstones that connect us over and over and over again. Moses is telling us to keep rhythms so that we can keep the words, so that we can keep the reality of God close, so that we can keep love close, keep community close, keep dreams of a better world close, keep generosity and compassion and rest close. Because friends, you are surrounded by small g gods, surrounded by temptations to despair, the lure of wealth, the demands of productivity, the fascinations of individualism. We are surrounded by other messages, and we need to stay close. We need to stay connected to the truth. We need to remember it and return to it over and over and over again, daily, weekly, monthly, and sometimes hourly. Keep these words: the Lord alone is God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is the compelling vision of Sabbath. Sabbath is a built-in rhythm that helps us stay connected. It is a choice. It is a practical act. The consistency of it, the commitment to it, matters. Without putting a structure into our lives that helps us practice it, we will give ourselves over to the other things without even thinking about it. And so we choose. We choose to gather every week to nurture our awareness of God among us and tend to our love for each other. We choose to give regularly in order to remind us that we have enough, more than enough, to share generously. We choose intentionally in the ways that we spend our time so that we can nurture friendships and love, so that we can share meals together, so that we can laugh together and cry together. We choose to show up for one another in community. We anchor those rhythms into who we are as people and as this family of faith in ways that extend way beyond these walls. We choose to build these rhythms into our lives. Thanks be to God for these choices. Thanks be to God for these people with whom we get to build it. Thanks be to God. Amen.